What's happening, everybody? It's good to be back with y'all. I am excited to because today we're going to talk about easily the most important decision I ever made in my professional career, but it's probably also one of the more important personal decisions I ever made too. And if you've listened to this podcast at all or had any conversation with me, you know how I will promote this idea that work-life balance doesn't exist. I don't think that there's as much separation between work and life as we try to give it credit for. What we do at work impacts our life, and what we do in our life impacts work. So why do we put this wall up and act like that the two are exclusive of each other? So yes, I made a very important business decision that we'll get into, but also, of course, it impacted my life as well. And so far, at least, it impacted it in a very, very positive way. But I want to talk about that. But first, just kind of, it's been a couple weeks since I've done a podcast. And, you know, I'll make some excuses, right? I should be, I've been busy. There's been some things happening. You know, the reality is I didn't prioritize it because I got overwhelmed with just some other things that were happening. And I'll get into those a little bit. But one of the things that happened in the last couple of weeks is my wife, Megan, and I, we took a couple nights out in Colorado. And we rented one of those converted vans, and we drove off into the middle of nowhere and spent two nights just camping and going around the Rocky Mountains. We spent a night in Twin Lakes, Colorado, which is probably one of the most picturesque, beautiful places I've ever been. And shout out to Robin Taylor. I don't know if anybody knows Robin Taylor, but we met Robin the night that we were camping. So Robin, if you're listening, hello. I was really fascinated because Robin is a retired professor from Ohio State. And because I don't know what I'm doing, I'm not like an outdoorsy type person. I don't camp often. I would easily, you know, not survive 24 hours left to my own devices. And so when Megan and I showed up at this campsite, we found a place that we wanted to stay. It was overlooking this beautifully crystal clear lake with two 14,000 foot mountain peaks kind of coming down to the water. Apparently you have to, when you get to these campsites, you have to pay to camp overnight, and they don't take credit card. And I don't ever carry cash with me anywhere. I'm horrible at it. Absolutely horrible. So now in this situation, I did bring some cash with me, but I only had $18. And in order to stay overnight, you needed 20. So I saw Robin a few campsites down, and I interrupted her. I think she was making dinner. And I asked Robin, I said, I'm really, really sorry to bother you. And I'm even more sorry to ask this, but do you have $2? I didn't bring enough money for this. I didn't know what I was doing. And Robin, because she is such a sweet person, apparently comes prepared for this because she's done this enough that she knows that it happens. And she gave me $2, and we were able to then stay overnight. So Robin, thank you for that. But as we got talking with Robin later on in the evening, you know, I was very fascinated. She's gone. She once did a 3-month trip. Just her and herself and her van, and drove up to Alaska. And so I was really, really fascinated with this because you don't oftentimes meet people that do some of these, you know, more off the beaten path sort of excursions like that, and let alone herself doing it by herself. So just really, really enjoyed our conversation. And a few days earlier, my wife and I had both heard something that really stuck with us. And it crystallized for me. I'm not sure, either one. But that saying was, you have the rest of your life to be ordinary. And when I thought about, man, would I ever get in my car and drive up to Alaska for 3 months? No, because that's just, no, you don't do that. That's not normal. And you know, I had heard this phrase, it had really kind of stuck with me for a little bit. We have the rest of our life to be ordinary. And sometimes in life, I think we need to take some chances. I think we need to push past some of our fears and realize that even if it doesn't go the way that you want it, you have the rest of your life to go back to doing things the normal way. And so one of those things that I get asked a lot about that wasn't necessarily quote unquote the normal thing to do was leaving my corporate career. And at the time that it happened, and certainly, you know, still to this day, 2+ years later, you know, I get asked a lot, like, what was it like to step out of certainly the comforts of a corporate job? To my knowledge, I was not, you know, being performance managed in any way. I was doing okay, and kind of left that all on the table to go pursue the speaking career. And so I thought I would just share a little bit about the story and what I've learned through that process, because especially now in 2021, with everything that's happened in the last year and a half, there's a lot of people that are looking to maybe step out and do something different. And, you know, I as you can probably tell from where I started the story, my advice is you got the rest of your time to do the ordinary. If you want to step out and try something new, do it, because you can more than likely go back to what you were doing the normal way, if you ever feel the need to do that. So, but for me, my story, I'll kind of walk you through the process of my story and how I got to the point that I am today. But it really boiled down to what was important for me in life. And when I think about early in my career, what was important to me in my career, coming out of college, probably the most important thing for me at that time was what I'll call just to make a good living. If I really wanted to boil it down, it was to make money so that I could support my family, so that I could vacation, do the things that I wanted to do. And so that's what drove a lot of my decisions, whether or not I recognized it fully at that time. So right out of college, I graduated from Miami University in Ohio. Yes, we were a college before Florida was a state. Okay, so don't ever forget that. But I took a job working for a mortgage brokerage firm right out of college, and it was a great first job because I learned a lot. But I wouldn't say that I'm like super proud of my time there. And what I mean by that is I was working in the mortgage industry in 2006, 2 years before the market crash, and the way I would describe that work environment, it felt not to the degree in any way that's depicted in some of these movies, but it felt a little bit like Boiler Room, the movie. It felt a little bit like what you'd see Wolf of Wall Street, because it was a lot of extremely young, hungry, fresh out of college men and women. And it was kind of like hardcore sales in a way. And, you know, long story short, after about 10 months of working in that job, I kind of saw the writing on the wall from where the mortgage industry was headed. And our company was primarily a subprime lending company. So we sold, we refinanced and did mortgages for in the subprime mortgage space. And, you know, I started seeing these things where appraisals were going absolutely bonkers and, you know, way more value than the house was actually worth, especially when I would go out and I'd meet with people in their house and it's falling apart. And, you know, they're trying to do loans for over the amount that their home is worth. And it got to the point where I really didn't feel comfortable doing those. And I wasn't very good at it because it was really hard for me to go sit down with somebody and say, yeah, hey, let's do a loan for 125% of the value of your home, which really is more like 150% because your home is not as worth as much as this appraisal is going to say it is. And so I wasn't very good at it, quote unquote, because I didn't want to go and sell those types of loans and try to sell people on a promise that I didn't really believe in. Okay. So to cut that story down, I left that job, and I didn't have a plan. At the time, my wife, Megan, not my wife yet, but she was going to be moving to St. Louis to start a dental hygiene program. I was in Cincinnati, Ohio for this job. And so I went looking for jobs in St. Louis, but I didn't really know anybody in that area. And I didn't really even know what I wanted to do. And I ultimately ended up taking a job, not in St. Louis, back in my hometown of Bloomington, Illinois, with State Farm Insurance, because I'd had coffee with a guy and he'd kind of sold me on coming to work there. And I wanted to go get my MBA. And I knew that after a year, State Farm had a great program where they would pay for your MBA. So it seemed like a win-win. While my to-be wife is going to be finishing up her 2.5 years of dental hygiene school, I'll go up here, get started in this career, get started on my MBA. And then when my MBA is done, we will probably have just gotten married and we can go off and explore the world and do whatever we want to do. So, so at this point, right, my desire, what I needed from my working life was to provide an income. And when I started at State Farm, I was making $27,000 a year. And quite frankly, it's better than some, but $27,000 a year is not a whole lot of money. And I went and bought a house because I thought that's what you're supposed to do. And I could barely afford my mortgage and my insurance and the things with running, you know, that comes with owning a home when I was making $27,000 a year. And very quickly, I got into some credit card debt. And it was hard to put on this facade of like, I'm doing the responsible thing. And when I kind of started low on the rung at State Farm. And so what became important to me in my career at that point switched from necessarily making money to almost proving people wrong. Because one of the funny things that happened is when I started at State Farm, this isn't like State Farm's fault. This isn't the leaders I was working with fault. I think this is very common in industries is despite the fact that I had graduated from a good school, despite the fact that in every job I'd had, I'd always, you know, done fairly well, excelled, you know, did what was needed and required of me in those jobs. Because of where I came into that organization, all of my external experience was kind of wiped away. And now I was essentially a call center employee. And that's what kind of set my worth at the organization. So it didn't matter that I was working on my MBA. The most important thing for me was now proving people wrong to show you that I can do more than the job you hired me for. And I spent a lot of my career for the next couple of years trying to sort of prove that. And it was a little hard. It was a little hard to apply for positions above what I was. And people would say, oh, but you're just a certain level at this organization. So we're not sure if you're ready for that next level here. Again, despite the other things that were being asked of me. So in the insurance industry, one of the things that's really big is designations. In fact, it's almost more valuable in some cases in the insurance industry to get a designation than it is to have an advanced degree like an MBA. So for those of you that don't know sort of what that might look like, a designation in this case was taking 9 tests on various topics in order to get sort of a designation related to that field. So 9 tests, which in my case, I was one of those people that liked to cram. I could study for one of those tests in about 3 days. 3 days, I was crammed with all this information, take the test. You just had to get a 70 or better, and that was a pass. And you do that 9 times, and you get your designation. So that's what I started doing because I needed to prove to other people in a way that like I was ready for these things. And that those 9 tests were more valuable than 2.5 years in an MBA program, which obviously you could tell by the tone of my voice, I kind of disagreed with that. I still disagree with that, but whatever. That's the game I had to play, right? It was about, in my head again, the most important thing for me was kind of like proving people wrong. Hey, I can do this. I can take on more responsibility. I can get into management. I can get above that. I can keep moving. I'm ready to prove you wrong. If you think that I can't do it, I'm going to prove you wrong. And so I'm not saying that that's right, but that's just like, that was my path. That's what I was doing. And eventually I got into some leadership roles. My wife and I, Megan, got married. Everything was good, but it was, again, I finished my MBA and now we really wanted to kind of get out of Illinois. We wanted to go explore the world a little bit. And State Farm was opening some new facilities in Phoenix and Atlanta. and Dallas. And so I, you know, raised my hand. I was like, yeah, I want to do that. Let's go. So I actually raised my hand for Phoenix and they're like, no, chill here for a little bit. I didn't know why. I was a little annoyed. and then they opened up the Dallas office and was kind of like, hey, how about Dallas? And I was like, yes, let's do that. So we did. I say Megan and I, because we talked about it a lot. We're like, yeah, absolutely. Let's go to Dallas. Raised our hand for it and got the job offer. And then a week later, found out we were having twins. And so, you know, that was certainly a challenging time moving away from friends and family. Right as the time that you're going to have not one, but two kids and moving to a city that, you know, I knew one person that lived here and they helped out tremendously. So that's what we did. And that was this moment of having children was a seismic shift in what became important for me. And I am not unique in this in any way. Having children is certainly a life-changing event. But when we had our girls, I was no longer the most important thing. So in the past, what was important was making money, proving people wrong. Now those were all selfish endeavors. And that is not to say that I want to go through life without being able to provide for my family, but it's not the most important thing. The most important thing is to be there for my family. And now I had come to this realization, and it didn't happen, you know, the day that they were born, quite frankly, it probably happened like a year after that, of if I'm not the most important thing and my family is what makes me the most happy, then I want to be happy in what I do. At work, I want to be happy. And so if that means that, I'm not going to do certain things because my source of happiness is at home, or my source of happiness is making sure I'm around the people that give me energy, and that I'm going to do that. And it's not necessarily about advancing to the next level or always striving to make more money and do these types of things. That was like really the seismic shift that I had. And it happened at a time also that in my career, I started to realize that my career wasn't giving me that same sort of happiness. And this is I'm gonna be very clear, because I know that there are gonna be some people who are listening to this that I used to work with. And I absolutely loved the people I worked with at State Farm. And I love State Farm as an organization for what they allow for their employees, how they really do take care of the people that work for them. So the organization, the people, but there was parts of a corporate environment that I realized I didn't get the same energy from anymore. And this isn't just State Farm. This is any organization, right? You have meetings to have meetings. You know, you have a meeting to plan the next meeting, and there's 10 people in that meeting to share their input when really only one person is the decision maker of that meeting. There's a lot of indecision that comes in corporate environments because, again, too many people are, whether they're an influencer in those decisions or they are the decision maker, it gets really clouded. The pace at which large organizations can change what was frustrating to me. I like to move pretty fast, and some cases you can find that, but in many cases it's really hard to turn a big ship like that. There was also what I also started to realize is that I had limited impact in the work that I was doing as a leader. I was working in contact centers. I had a limited reach in my ability to try to help my team and my leaders grow personally and professionally. And I, in no ways was I perfect at doing that, right? I've absolutely made mistakes, but I really only had maybe 5, 6, 7 people in my direct touch that I could really impact. And through them, I could impact others. But it was right at about that time I kind of started speaking on the side that I realized, well, wow, when I'm speaking, I can go out and I can talk with 500 people from different companies and different industries. And if I can impact them, then their reach expands from there. If I can give them something that they can go back and it changes either them personally and professionally, and then they share that with others. That has such a broader reach. Whereas where I was at the time in an organization, I really had this limited scope. So those were the types of things. This wasn't in no way about anything about the organization or the direct people I worked with. It's the structure that comes with a corporate environment that I started to realize didn't necessarily make me as happy as it used to. And so this was about maybe 3 years ago, three or four years ago. I just got introduced to speaking. It's a little bit of a family business that I knew about because my brother does it. Both of my brothers do it. My dad does it as well. So I knew it was out there. I knew it was a thing. And as I began trying it, you know, I certainly became aware of it. But it was this moment where I really sat down, and I think Megan might have been there with me as well. But I had to ask myself, if I'm going to be happy, if I draw energy from my family, if I draw energy from the reach that I can have, I want to have a bigger reach. What do I need? What do I need in order to do that? And a couple of things came to mind. One, I needed more flexibility. The 9-to-5 idea never worked for me. I never, even early in my career it never made sense to me that there was a specific time that I needed to work. Because I remember one time my shift ended at 5. I was a call center representative, first job with the organization. My shift ended at 5 and I was on the phone with somebody who was having trouble and I wanted to help solve their problem. And I stayed on the phone until 6:30 at night, hour and a half past my shift, because we had to figure this thing out and I was going to help. And afterwards, my boss wasn't upset with me, but he was just like, hey, you can't stay an hour and a half past your shift. And I was like, why? This customer needed my help. And he's like, I get it, but we can't, you know, there's legal reasons. We can't pay you overtime. You have to, when your shift's done, you have to, you know, start wrapping things up. You can't go an hour and a half past your shift. And so very early in my career, that sort of concept of this rigidness that we sometimes have at work, I needed some place where I could have flexibility. I also really wanted to be involved with my kids. The kids give me happiness. It doesn't mean that they don't frustrate me to no end, but they give me happiness. So how can I make sure I'm spending time with them and I'm not spending all of my time focused, again, on this sort of 9-to-5 work? I also realized that something that makes me happy is to be responsible for my goals, to be responsible for the results that I get, good or bad. And that's probably something I learned early in that mortgage job that I did like about it, is when you set your goals, when you figure out what you want to accomplish in your year, your month, your career, I want to be in charge of that and fully in charge of that. And there's really a few places that you can fully be in charge of it. But it's very hard in a corporate environment to be in charge of those goals. A lot of those might be handed down to you by upper leadership. And in many cases, you're going to rely on so many other departments, people, teams that will impact your goals, that I kind of, in a way, wanted to just fully be in charge of my goals. I also realized, I think the fourth thing that I realized is I wanted to be myself. What I had realized towards the middle of my career, probably the middle part of my career, my corporate career, is that I wasn't myself. And I've made this joke before, like, I was wearing suits to work. I wasn't the most like PC person, but I definitely learned corporate talk and how you really say a bunch of words without really saying anything. And I wanted to just be myself. I started towards the end of my career being way more myself. And I think it truly unlocked myself as a better leader, as a better coworker, as a better person, as a better husband, as a better father. But I wanted to do something for work where I could be myself. And that doesn't mean that you're always going to get to say absolutely everything you want to say without any filter. That's not what I mean by, you know, being PC. I could be myself. I could wear shirts and not feel like I have to get dressed up in a suit to act like somebody I'm not. So for me, as I did that 3 or 4 years ago, that's when I realized that speaking, that what I'm doing now is an option. And it certainly helped because I knew about the industry. I knew that it existed. I knew that there is ways to make a living doing this. But that for me became my way in order to be happy and to get all the things that I needed out of quote unquote work so that I could be happy in life. And so that's kind of how I guess in a way I got to eventually leaving my corporate career to go do this. And for anybody who's listening, if you are thinking about a career change or whatever, you're just in a rut. I hope that path, that story gives you just a little bit of things to consider. But specifically, I think there's sort of three steps that anybody could take in order to launch into the next career or the same career that you're in. Maybe it's just going to help you figure out that you're where you need to be. But the first thing that, again, really sticks to me, and I don't know that I had crystallized this idea before I left, but again, it's kind of just top of mind for me right now. One of the things I always told Megan when we were making this decision for me to leave a comfortable, good corporate career with, by all accounts, you know, the likelihood that I could work my entire career and that organization had a pension plan, I could have retired in comfort. But I always told Megan that, you know, again, I didn't say it this way, but you have the rest of your life to be ordinary. I could always go back. If speaking didn't turn out the way that we wanted it to, and I wanted to go back to a corporate job, I would think that I could probably get back with that same organization, maybe. But if not, you know, I've got 13 years of experience. I think I'll land somewhere. And so for anybody who's listening and thinking about that, I would ask you to consider what happens if you failed. If you made a career change and it didn't work out, I'm willing to bet 9 times out of 10, you can probably go back to what you were doing before. So just realize that you got all the time in the world that we're given, at least that you were given here on this earth. You got the time in the world to go back and do the normal thing if you want. So just really, you know, be conscious. Like that's why I think sometimes we just have to not get so caught in our head. Don't wait. Just now is the time. Now is always the time. And that's why also I think it's important to take steps now towards those next actions. So when I began speaking 4 years, 4 or 5 years ago, it was never with the intention to leave my corporate career. It was just something I thought I was going to do on the side because I really enjoyed it. I really got a lot of energy from it. I loved the times that I got to go do that. And then as I went through this process and started to realize, okay, maybe this is something I want to do, then I started focusing on it a little bit more so that when it came time for me to leave my corporate career, I wasn't just quitting cold turkey and starting anew. It wasn't like back in my career when I had left the mortgage industry. I didn't have a plan at all when I left. I had to go start immediately from scratch at that moment to figure out something new. In this case, I knew what I wanted to do. And so I started to take steps before I left my corporate career so that I wasn't starting day one when I quit. And there's a lot of things that we all can do, that you all can do, if making a change is something you're thinking about. Start taking some steps now. The second thing that I think is really important is to be clear about your intentions. Like why do you want a career change? Why do you feel like you're in a rut? But also, what's important to you? And is a career change going to help you reach towards those important things in your life? So if it is spending more time with your family, is this new career change going to allow that for you? And so we have to be really, really clear about what is important to us in our career because it's important to us in our life. And what do you hope to accomplish with that? So if you can find a job that gives you these things that are important, what are you going to accomplish with that? So for me, one of the things I said was, one of the things that's really important to me is spending time with my family. If I made a career change that gave me more time with my family and I didn't do anything with that, then was it really worth it? Am I accomplishing what I set out to do? So that was one of the things where in the last couple of years, I've gotten very involved in my kids' sporting teams. I've coached their soccer team. I don't know how to play soccer at all. I don't know the rules of the game. I don't know how to teach them how to kick the ball. And so I was a bad soccer coach, but I said I wanted more time with my family, and now I had it. And if I wasn't going to go spend time with them being the worst soccer coach that I could, then was I really accomplishing my goals? So same for you. Like, let's be clear about your intentions. What do you want to accomplish? What's important to you? And how are you going to do that with this career change or this change of path? And then the third thing that I think is super important is to be confident in your decision and not care what other people think. When I left State Farm, I was blown away with the support that I got from my coworkers, from people saying, "Hey man, good for you. This is great. Absolutely proud of you. You know, go do it." So I didn't have this sense of worrying about what people were going to think. But also I'll just tell you that I know myself well enough to know that that wasn't going to be a concern for me, because I'm not perfect, but I tend to not worry about what people are going to think about me. And part of this is I've got a chance to work in this industry and hear people talk a lot. Maybe it's sunk in. I've used this before. He's a great speaker in his own regard, and I love him, Mr. Paul Long. I've talked about him on this podcast before, I think. But Paul always says, don't worry about what people think about you, because they don't. And I think that's important. When you're making these career changes, when you're doing something maybe a little wild, don't worry about what people are going to think about. If you are confident in that decision, it doesn't mean that you can't seek the input of other people. It doesn't mean that you can't talk to other friends for advice. But if you make a choice to make the jump, or to start something new, or to try something that you've never tried before, don't worry about what people think about you, because they don't. It's about being confident in the decision that you're making. That was a fear I think that I had when I left my corporate career, is what are people going to think about me leaving the comforts of this job and a good salary and all the benefits that come with it to go try and be a professional speaker? Like, how does that work? Are you going to make any money? How are you going to get health insurance? Like, so many questions, so many fears. And I don't think I let myself get too caught up in that, but I know that it is something holding a lot of people back from making the right choice for them and their career change and whatever it is that they're trying to do. You're worried about what other people are thinking about you, and you need to stop. If you've done your homework, if you sat down and said, how am I going to be happy in my life? And you've written out the things and you found something that can provide, if not all of those things, at least 75% of them, then be confident that you've done your homework and that it's okay to go out and step out a little bit from the normal and just realize that, again, if it comes back and it didn't work out, then you have a good story to tell. You have a great story to tell, and you can go back to doing the ordinary thing that you were doing beforehand. So that's a little bit about sort of, I guess, my story, how I got to, you know, leaving a corporate career. And just to kind of recap, again, understand what's important to you. Understand what's going to ultimately make you happy in your work. Because if you're not happy at work, Gary Vee says this a lot. I'm a big Gary Vee fan as well. You know, he talks about when people are thinking about making career changes, it's like, well, I've got 13 years at this company. If those 13 years aren't providing you some sort of happiness in your everyday, and when you go home, you're dreading waking up the next morning and going to work, then that's not a good working relationship to be in. That's a toxic culture that you need to get away from. So don't get stuck in the rut of if it doesn't make you happy. Trust me, there are plenty of other professions and jobs and ways to make an income than you could ever believe today. So go out and find one that you can do that and make you happy in doing it. And then again, just recognize that if you need to, you can go back and do the ordinary thing. But I've become more and more enthusiastic about this idea of stepping out and doing some wild and crazy things. So there will be some more information, I'm sure, I will share with you all here in the coming weeks about what some of those things are and why the last couple of weeks have been a little hectic and crazy. I've got a few more details to firm up before we do that, but stay tuned. It's going to be a fun, wild and journey, and trust me, it's not going to be anything ordinary. So, for y'all, I hope this was helpful. If you have any questions, if you're thinking about making a career change and you want to talk, you want some advice or just someone to tell you that you are crazy or you're not crazy, reach out at Haven Speaking on any of the social platforms. Would love to hear from you in the comments of this. Tell me what's on your mind related to this topic. Am I crazy? Or if you're thinking about making that change, what are those things that are going to make you happy? I would love to hear that from you all. And we will definitely keep you updated on some of the craziness and wildness that's going to be going on here soon. So stay tuned. Thank you all for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please do like, subscribe, do all the things that the kids are doing, and we will talk to you again soon. Thanks for listening.